Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome back in the Morning Hookup. Having a great time, my guy, Will Wilson. Hey, Will, I have a question before we get to tea. I'm just getting a bunch of texts. Like, when you had a sub in school, like in high school, did you act differently?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah?
I guess my
daughter is in, like, Spanish class right now.
Yeah.
Sending me selfies with her friend taking notes.
And they have a substitute right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't get that phone taken away.
Well, that was the cool thing about substitutes is you can get away with a lot more.
Yeah. Because there at school, if you get called with your phone, they take it to the office.
Right.
And you got to have a parent come pick it up.
Oh, geez.
I sent a picture. They said hi, Will.
Hey. Hey, kids.
They're not listening, but they said hi. So, all right, let's get to our guy, Henry T. Buchanan. T, what's good?
What's happening? What's happening, man? You know, hey, at my spot, man, looking at the blue skies as usual, man, and looking forward to this 86 to 90 degree weather today, and got tomorrow off to golf all weekend, and man, I'm pretty pumped up, man. Even went to the Suns game last night.
Whoa.
Yeah, went to the Suns and Denver Nuggets game, and me and my coworker Scott Ober, man, he got me a free ticket to go with him, man. We walking up there, man. The local Fox News stopped us and asked if we were Suns fans. We said absolutely, and did a little interview with them, and but they probably cut me out because I had to bring up last year when they beat my boy Tyronn Lue, the Clippers, and so I told him I'm a little disappointed with that, but I said I'm still riding with you, though.
Did you buy a Sun shirt to take with you, or do you have one, or are you in red?
Oh, absolutely not. I had my Husker Go Big Red on. I had it all, man, the hat and all. And but I did take they did have this rally towel. It was back to my chair, so I did take a rally towel. And but I lost my, man, I left my my mask, man, my Husker mask, man. I almost went back in there to get it, man, but they probably would have arrested me thinking I was stealing stuff. I don't know. But I got plenty of those, so not going to worry about it.
So what did you think of the game? I mean, I know it's the first game, but, you know, how did the Suns look? How did the Nuggets look? I'm really intrigued on the Nuggets because I actually may be thinking about them winning the finals.
Oh, my goodness. That Jokic, the Joker. Oh, my goodness, man. When you see him in person, man. Good, great. I was just talking to Shu earlier about that, man. I'm like, this guy is phenomenal. Now I know why he's the MVP from last year. It's nothing he can't do. And I always question, you know, when they talk about making other players better. But I saw it up in close and personal, man. This guy rebounds, he handles, he passes, he shoots the three, he posts. He does it all, and he does it at his pace. And he just makes it look easy. Denver's loaded. They don't even have Jamal Murray. But I think Suns are going to be there too, man. CP3, man, and, you know, with Booker, man, they'll be okay. They just got to pay DA, man, the big guy out. They got to pay him, man, DeAndre out. I think it is, but they need to pay him, man, because he's going to be disgruntled the rest of the year. But man, it was fun going to and I haven't been to a game, you know, due to COVID for a couple of years, man, and just to be up in there in that crowd. I mean, they got a, you know, they're not Husker level fans, man, but they're up there, man. But it was fun being there.
Hey, T, man, we're not too far away, like 6 days away or so from our first exhibition at Nebraska here for basketball. My question is, at what point, because these guys have been playing against each other for a long time with camps and things like that, what's it like when you guys are like, all right, I'm done playing against each other and the energy of wanting to play a team? Because I think you get point where you're just done playing against your teammates.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's for sure, man. You're excited, man. And poor Peru State, man, because I remember when we were preparing for our exhibition game and we played at UNO. They were Division II at the time, and and we were just ready to play against somebody else. And I think we started that game. I knew we beat them pretty bad, but the start of the game, man, we went up like 10 to 15, like within the first couple of minutes, man, never looked back. But you just excited to play against someone different. You know, tired of beating up on each other, man. I felt sorry for, you know, some of Bill Johnson and some of the guys who were like the scout team, man, and, you know, watched Steve Vick and them beat up on them. And we're, you know, we're pressuring the guards and, you know, and this in practice every day. Now you get to take it out on someone else. And it's just exciting, man. I mean, I guarantee those kids, especially the new players that hadn't had the opportunity to play at this level, you know, Bryce, you know, everybody's looking forward to see what he's going to do, man. And I'm sure he's pretty pumped up, man. I think their toes are tapping by probably faster than mine.
We're talking to Henry T. Buchanan. I love how, you know, practice has been going on and the media has been reporting on William Breidenbach. I mean, apparently this dude he's getting a lot of playing time. He's been playing with the starters or, you know, the top dudes because I believe one of our centers has been missing some time, I think, to an illness or something like that. So Breidenbach's been getting some time and he's been getting some run. I mean, this dude's apparently pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you what, wasn't he a four-star?
Mm-hmm. Coming in, yeah.
Yeah, a four-star man with Clark Kent glasses, and hey, man, you know, I've seen some of the highlights of him playing, and I saw him practice, and he's one of those heady players, man, and you know, he's going to do a great job of just spelling, you know, Walker, you know, some minutes and things of that sort, mm-hmm. and but he knows the game, you know, he's that West Coast type of player, man, and you know, and got a soft touch, you know, and he's one of those guys that I think is not going to be afraid of the lights. And, you know, if you're a four-star or a five-star, man, and I mentioned this last week, man, these guys have played against each other, you know, on other teams, other four or five-stars going to all these camps, AAU. So they all know each other. So, and they got respect for one another. So, I think he's gonna be one of our quiet surprises.
Hey, T, you know, Will just mentioned we've got some maybe some injuries for a big man right now. That they're dealing with kind of brings me to this subject. Yesterday, Coach Frost talked about Adrian Martinez being pretty beat up, dealing with some injuries. But he played, but his strength wasn't available in the game.
Yeah.
Scrambling in the option game. Did at what point, like even in your time, or maybe you dealt with an injury, or you had a player that did one of your five or one of your like subs, your top subs. Is there a point in time where it's like, man, it's you think about the kid, you think about the program as a whole, that you had to sit. And that it's tough to do that, but did you ever have to go through that or see that? Because I thought when he said that, it kind of got me like, man, we took away his strength and it hurt the team.
Yeah, that actually happened to me personally my senior year. We were playing against Oklahoma, and Mookie Blaylock, you know, he was known to do a pump fake. He's mm-hmm. at the three-point line, so I was guarding him. And, of course, I don't go for the fake, but, of course, Drago, Richard Van Pogies, you know, behind me, Mr. 6'9", 250, jumps, you know, he took the bait, jump, and came down on my ankle, and I was out for the rest of the game, and actually missed three games, and then, you know, took a couple of quarter zone shots and came back at Allen Fieldhouse, and you're a different player, and I just remember at half court, and Kevin Pritchard was standing next to me and said, "Are you all right, T?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm going to give you what I can." And you're just not of strength, you know, and you just kind of, you know, you don't have your speed, your lift or anything like that. So you're limited. But, you know, at this time, you know, Scales was a freshman. Of course, he was starting with Eric Johnson, but he didn't have that experience. And, you know, he ended up being a great player, of course. But at that time, you know, he's a freshman and true freshman, and Danny needed me back. And I just said, "Well, put me in there, coach, and you just go give it the best." But you can't, if you're not at full strength, man, and you're playing against Division I players, man, it's just different, man. And you try to compensate in different areas, but it's just tough, man. So of course, I never played football, but Martinez, I can relate to him, man. Especially when you're talking about your legs and your ankles and your feet, man. You need that more than you need your arms in basketball, just about, because you got to get up there, be able to run, jump, and play defense, stay in front of someone.
We're talking.
Go ahead.
No, please continue, Henry.
No, I'm good.
Okay, well, I was jumping on back over to basketball, man. I know you've kept in touch with Doc Sadler for a number of years. And, you know, clearly the guy is a great bench coach, and he's got a great defensive mind. You know, what makes him such a good bench coach? And as far as the defensive side, you know, in your eyes, what is good in Doc's eyes when, you know, for that he could do with defense?
Well, he came up through that Eddie Sutton, you know, Henry Iva, you know, school of basketball, you know, so he's been a fundamental defensive minded coach, and that's what made him successful at Nebraska. You know, it was a little bit too much defense and fundamentals, and it was tough to recruit, you know, on the offensive end, and especially, and I've watched Doc over the years. I watched when he was at KU, you know, when he was assistant there. I watched him when he was down in Southern Miss. I used to watch a couple of his games, his demeanor, man. And, you know, and players really, relate to, Doc, and it's probably his personality. And I think he brings a lot. It's almost like Coach Bargan was for Daniel, with Coach Need. You know, he was fundamentally sound, you know, coach defense and, you know, things that I wasn't even accustomed to, because, you know, coming up in Indiana, we was all shooters and everything, but we didn't really, you know, learn the fundamentals. We just was athletes, and we'd get up down the court and we'd fire the ball. And then when I played for Coach Bargan, and, you know, he just taught you fundamentals. It was tedious, but it was, man, but when you execute that on the basketball court, it's a beautiful thing. And that's what Doc Sadler reminds me of, and one of the greatest guys you're ever going to meet.
Again, we're speaking Husker legend, Henry T. Buchanan. T, when you look at the makeup of this team, obviously there's a ton of athletes, ton of guards, ton of shooters. How important is it going to be, one, that they keep it simple and not all the flair? Because we see that in a lot of college basketball, right? Remember, like back in your day, the old bounce pass, right? They bounce pass back in the day. Two-handed chest pass.
Hell, oh, yeah.
Right? Those are words that aren't talked about much anymore. A bounce pass or a jump stop, right? How important is going to be for this team?
Excuse me. Danny Need would say, is that a 90% pass or a 10% pass? And what he meant, does that have a 90% of being successful or 10%? Mm-hmm. And if you made that 10% pass, you were sitting next to him. He didn't play. So with that in mind, I would have loved to play in this era, but I love the way we played. I mean, things that they do this right now that I consider traveling.
Oh, yeah.
If you look like you traveled, they call it. Excuse me, hold on. Man, got a little last night into me. I mean, it's just basketball. I just think at all levels now has became entertainment. And that's why I always go back to the women's basketball, and they play it the way it should be played, because they're not running and dunking and, you know, and things of that sort. They play fundamental basketball with two-hand chest passes, bounce passes, pump fakes, and things of that sort, pivots. And it's some of the things you just don't see. Now, don't get me wrong, man. The Euro step and you know, the fancy dribbling and the dunks and things of that sort, it's entertainment. But I guarantee you, man, coaches of the past, man, they're, you know, that's not with us, man. They're rolling in the grave, man, saying, man, what are we watching here? But then again, you know, that's society, man. I mean, we got to entertain us, you know, at all levels. And speaking of entertaining, I don't know if y'all saw with Delano Bat. Now, yep. I didn't want to change the subject, man. What, I mean, 12 minutes, 7 points, hit a half-court shot, 4 rebounds, and an assist and a steal, mm-hmm. man. I mean, did we see that coming?
No, I didn't. And for his first NBA points, too, that's really impressive. And Henry, you know, on that same topic, you know, Isaiah Roby down in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
He had a nice slam last night. I was checking out his contract details. So after this season, the Thunder have a club option, so they could, you know, ask him to come back or not. You know, on a team right now like the Thunder, they're not very good. It should be kind of easy for him to kind of show that, hey, you know, I could stay here.
Oh, yeah. You know, Shu and I was just talking about that earlier. I saw Isaiah Roby playing at the next level, but I thought Benton was going to come back for another year. He was testing the waters, man. But But you talking about a surprise, and I think both of them, what Delano did last night and what Roby's done the last few years, man, and somebody's going to pick him up. I can see Roby with one of these up-and-coming teams like Suns or something like that that are challenging for NBA titles, man, that, you know, they need someone like that coming off the bench because a lot of these teams, man, like the Lakers and the Nets, man, they are old. I mean, for basketball, you know, not age-wise, but for basketball, they're up there in that age. And you got these young – I'm watching Denver last night with Michael Porter and all those young kids, and then Bridges for Suns, man. Their athleticism and things of that sort, they're getting up and down the court, man. And I think Isaiah Roby fits into that. And then you got Benton at 6'9", man. No turnovers, you know. And, mm-hmm. I mean, come on, man. I mean, they're making the Huskers proud, man. I'm telling you.
We're talking to former Husker Henry T. Buchanan. Henry, I want to bring this up, and I want to get your take. So, Shaw, this guy named Curtis Shaw, he is the Big 12 coordinator of officials, and he was doing a press conference the other day, I guess talking about how there's going to be some changes from the referees, and a lot of it has to do with traveling. This is what he said. He said spin moves, step backs that might technically be illegal will be allowed because these moves have, quote, trickled down in basketball. He said, quote, yeah. You're going to see rules where you say that doesn't look right. He also mentioned how the National Rules Committee has told refs to not nitpick on travel calls whatsoever. I mean, give me your thoughts on all this.
Well, the NBA's been doing it since I can remember. And I knew it was going to eventually come down to the college level and even the high school level because it's an AAU. I mean, and don't get me wrong, if you can get away with it, that's fine and dandy. But it still goes back to what I said, it's entertainment. They want to see people score. And so it's a disadvantage to the defense. And you know, it used to be a time where defense won championships. Now it's going to be all offense, man. And I really don't like it, man, because like I said, when I was playing college, man, if you look like you travel, they called it. And 9 times out of 10, it probably was. But now being able to take an extra step and especially, I'm assuming they're talking about that James Harden setback.
Yeah.
Yep. Where he takes about 3 steps back. And who can't get their shot off? You know, man, if you gave me 3 steps to get my shot off, man, I probably shot 80%. You know, so it's, I don't like it, man, but we just got to get used to it, man. And you're going to see some high scoring and a lot of offense at the collegiate level this year.
Hey, T, I want to ask, because this team's a very talented team. Obviously, we know with their ability to get to the rim, shoot it, pass it, all that good stuff. A lot of it's going to go, because this team's going to hit adversity. All teams through a season hit adversity. When you guys hit adversity, I think there's got to be a vocal leader or two, because not everybody's built that way to be the mm-hmm. vocal leader. They're the in practice. They're the ones that do the right things all the time or most of the time. When you played, one, how important was that role, and who was that guy for you guys?
Well, it was me back then. I was the vocal leader and during timeouts and like I think I've mentioned this before, there was times during a game and things wasn't going well for us and Coach Mee would pull me aside on the timeout and said, T, you're out there, man, what's going to work for you? And I'll say, Coach, I feel like this red defense is going to work, which is a pressure, defense when you're pressuring the ball and you just got to get these, keep these people off balance. So as a leader, as a captain and as a point guard, you had to have the feel of the game, each and every game. So we kind of policed ourselves. And although it didn't work all the time, but sometimes it did, because if they didn't respect you as a player, man, or we didn't respect one another, man, and that's what team sports is all about, man, and you would never be successful, man. So we always had those folks that we always looked up to and things of that sort. So even my first year, I mean, you know, of course we had 4 seniors with Brian Carr and, you know, Bernard Day and Bill Jackman. you know, they were our and Anthony Bayless, you know, and we Mike Marks, you know, we had some seniors, you know, they were the holdovers from Hawaii. So, of course, you know, we're learning from them. And then my senior year, then it was me, you know, and D. Vic, you know, and but I was the vocal guy.
T, did you ever have a moment, I think back to like the movie Hoosiers back in the day when they were in the huddle and they drew up the last play? They're like, nope, that ain't going to work, coach. Jimmy needs the ball. He got to shoot. He's our shooter. You ever have a moment, a huddle, when you were like that, coach, and you drew one up, you're like, no, coach, that ain't it?
No, well, mine's similar to that, but that Bo Reed, man, I still love him to the day for that, though. But that play was drew up for me against KU, man, and he was supposed to pick for me, and he popped up and got the shot and fell on my lap with a win against KU the year they won the national championship. That was exactly what that was. And I still love him to death, man. We still laugh about it.
We're talking to Henry T. Buchanan. Henry, we're very close to getting these exhibitions going down. I mean, what are you personally going to be looking for during these exhibitions? You know, obviously Hoiberg is going to be experimenting with some lineups just to see what he's got, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's going to be doing that. And the players right there, they're going to be, you know, competing for playing time and who's going to be in that rotation with conference play. So they got to be careful. You know, it's, you know, I know we're playing against Peru State that first game, man, but they got to take it serious. They can't be out there, you know, lollygagging and behind the back passes and turning the ball over just because we're playing against the, you know, I don't know who Peru State has. I'm assuming they're not at our level. And I just hope they don't take that team for granted, because coaches are going to be looking at, you know, who's playing as a team, who's playing hard, who's taking care of the ball. And those are going to be important each and every game they play in a pre-conference, man. It's going to be these players are competing for starting positions and playing time, man. So they're going to be interested, because you got a lot of depth in this, you know, on this team, man. And they know it. And they're competitors, man, because I'm still trying to figure out who's going to be the 7th and 8th when conference play that's going to be playing. Or Coach Hoiberg may play 10 people. You just don't know, man. But you know, then you're going to have to take injuries into consideration. But, I'm just looking forward to it. I wish I was there for these exits. Now this is when I wish I lived in Lincoln, you know, so I can just be there every day and looking at practice and going to these games, man. Now from afar, man, it's going to be tough for me.
T, last one. Just speaking of that, have you decided? You got the calendar mapped out when you're coming back?
Yeah, I do actually. Jerry,
Jerry, that, but, Mr. Jerry. Yeah.
But he told me to remind y'all of his 72 that he shot too, as we talk about it. But
he probably hasn't posted around since then, has he?
Oh, well, he played in the tournament last week, and he didn't want to really go engage in how their team did. I think they might have shot par out there at Highlands, his group. But he's, you know, I got to hear when he plays well. I hear for about a week.
Yeah.
So since I haven't heard much for a week, and he plays pretty much every day. So. No, but we were talking, and his wife Susan has her company has a suite, and he's determining which games that they'll have the suite. So I'm trying to schedule my trips back there. So at least, well, I guess I don't need to be sitting in the suite, but it'd be nice to be up there chilling. But so I got about four or five games that I'm eyeing, and then I'm looking at conference play probably right after the new year.
Well, T, man, we appreciate you like always, man. You let us know, because if it works out, you'll be back in the studio with us, and we'll be able to hang out and have some soda pops.
Oh, yeah, and also now, also to Bill, make sure you give me the dates you're going to be out here so I can work on that, getting that that round of golf course as well. And then I don't want to conflict you be here and I'm there. So.
Yeah, we will, because I just got them secured. I'll shoot you a text.
All right, sounds good.
All right, T, thanks, brother, man. Take care.
All right, y'all take care now.
Husker legend Henry T. Buchanan right there. Good stuff. Again, thanks for him, man. That's always a pleasure to have him on. But we're going to take another break right quick. When we come back, we're going to talk Major League Baseball playoffs, baby. Chop on.